CliffCentral.com.
All righty. Yeah. What's happening, everybody? Good morning. It's Tuesday. It is 6 minutes after six. Time to start your day. Time to get going. And some people have been up since four. Even earlier. Some people wake up really, really goddamn early. I don't understand it, but they do.
Yeah. No. Well, they have to.
No, they don't.
No, they really do. I mean, if you, for example, are catching up to four taxis into work every day.
Yeah.
You have to wake up.
What I'm saying is, like, you still have basic human volition. Like, you're not a slave. You could still decide, I'm not going to go to work today. And it won't mean necessarily that the whole world would collapse around you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good to be alive now, you know? If we were alive maybe one or two generations ago, no choice in the matter. Work, slave, you know? Okay. Well, Cape Town was fun. It was busy. Jesus, I've had to squeeze in a lot over that 2 days. But had a good trip. We're doing Durban this Friday. So we'll be coming to you live from Durban on Friday morning. But otherwise, it's back to normal and things are, you know, under control. Things are sensible. Not like in America where things seem to be a new level of crazy.
Ooh, so much of a division right now.
Yes, sis. The immigration thing, which has been called the Muslim ban, which I think is a, like, it's an oversimplification. You know, I mean, the two African countries that we could call it an African ban if we felt like it. Somalia and Sudan. Although I would want to keep people from Somalia and Sudan out of my country. If I lived in the Bikini Atoll, I'd want to keep them out. Just because those countries are so unstable that they're vomiting out really, really bad people. And then there's the issue of climate change, which has also got people hardlining one side or the other.
Well, so what's the latest, for example, on climate change?
Well, Ben was asking me this morning, what is Donald's – he's got a major, like, beef with climate change. He doesn't like the idea that – I don't know, like, generally what it is with Republicans – and this anti-science movement, I don't understand it. So if someone can articulate this problem for me so that I can make sense of it, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, my first instinct was that maybe Al Gore beat Donald Trump at golf once. And ever since then, he's been, damn you, Al Gore. I'll get you where it hurts most, climate.
Well, I'm curious about, I think he met with Al Gore before, after his election and before his inauguration. He met with Al Gore. He met with Leo DiCaprio. He met with a bunch of these climate people who are, you know, they put that on the agenda. Whether they're the most credible people to talk to, I don't know. But they certainly care about the climate and they care about the environment. And nothing came of it as far as I can tell because he's still a hardliner. Well, Donald.
Well, look, with all these things, you got to dig a bit deeper as to why anything's being done rather than just speculating it's – because that's dangerous. But he's definitely looking to pull out of the Paris Agreement, which is, yeah. Well, all these things have fancy names like that. But yeah, the Paris Agreement is the big story at the moment.
I think it's fair to say globalization is coming to a real crunch. It's pretty much dead in the water. You know, Europe's got a lot of elections coming up this year. Germany's got an election. France has got an election. The two most important countries in the EU. And There are a lot of people in those two countries who are very worried that it's either going to go to the right, people like Marine Le Pen, or to the left. There's a socialist that I saw being touted on TV yesterday. I walked past the television and this guy was on. He wants to give everybody money, which sounds like, you know, your classic politician's popularity attempt. I'm going to give everybody money. You're going to get a car, and you're going to get a car, and we're all going to get a car.
You mustn't spoil the masses like that.
Well, people believe it. I mean, no politician's ever delivered on that promise. No one. The only person who's ever come close is Oprah. And as far as I can tell, she hasn't stood for office yet.
Or Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Those two women are always giving stuff away for free.
Well, I mean, if you have to bribe your friends, are they really your friends? Anyway, so there's all that going on geopolitically. I've been listening to such an interesting sort of historical lesson, a podcast thing on the Cold War and on nuclear weapons when they first came about in mid-1940s to about the late 1960s, that period. And it's just, it's fascinating to me how, like, humans, we toy with our own destruction. Everything that's going on now is nothing compared to what was going on then, the height of the Cold War. But when you had Stalin and Truman in the USSR and the USA, none of us here in, I didn't even exist. I mean, my parents didn't exist at the time of Stalin and Truman, but my grandparents did. No one would have even considered us as part of the picture. We would have been collateral damage. We might have been lucky enough to escape collateral damage, but the world could, things could have been over. There would be no 2017. It'd be like this rocky, dead, nuclear fallout, irradiated planet between Venus and Mars that once harbored life. That's how it could have gone in a worst-case scenario. And then later, you know, Kennedy and Khrushchev. And it just would have been, that's what I love about history. People ask me often, you know, what do you care about history? It's all over, it's gone, it's finished. Doesn't tell you anything about tomorrow, but it does, really.
It's the only thing it tells you about tomorrow, really.
Yeah.
Because it always repeats itself, history.
And well, that's also true, but it's the only thing that you study at school that's about people. It shows you how people are just, sometimes you luck out, you get the right people in charge. And sometimes you end up with terrible people in charge. And if you look at the world right now, you wouldn't think we'd developed much further. We've got a strong man in Russia. We've got a strong man in South Africa. We've got a strong man in the U.S. The three countries.
Sorry, you say strong man or straw man?
Strong man. These are three guys who are like super male. They're gonna swing their dicks around and they're gonna prove who's in charge. The three countries that affect us most in terms of world politics right now. Those three countries. Russia, because our president loves the Russians.
You know, they have a very good relationship.
Yeah. Trump, obviously, because he's in charge of the world's biggest economy. And South Africa, because our president's still very much in charge, whether you believe he's on his way out or not. And these three are all like old school arg men, like cavemen. Right? Not one woman. Nothing's, we have not got better. There was a, it looked to me like that kind of, that way of dealing with the world. I'll decide I'm the strong man. You sit down over there and shut up. That kind of a great, you know, that old school, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And it has its advantages. It got us to where we are now, largely, because most of human history up to now has not been anything different to that. But there were some moments where maybe we didn't elect people just because of their genitals, but we definitely had some people who were thinking a little differently about the world. Like Obama thought differently about the world. People like Tony Blair, David Cameron, for all their faults, they were thinking differently about the world. They weren't these hardcore, like, I'm a man, you're a man, let's measure our dicks. You know? But now we get these three people who affect our lives the most. And this is what I love about history, is it gives you something to use as a point or a counterpoint, as a reference to, like, have we got better or have we got worse? Because that's what I'm interested in. Every day I wake up and I feel I want to get better. I want the world to get better. I want things to make more sense, not less sense.
I've always assumed that it just comes in peaks and troughs. You know, some seasons are better because you have the right people in charge, and then other seasons are really, really bad because you had terrible people in charge.
Yeah. Are we worse now than we were 10 years ago? Are we worse now than we were 50 years ago? Look, I think in terms of 100 years, we could easily say we've evolved a lot better. The systems of control have become a little more nuanced. They're not as binary as they used to be. You know, 50 years? Are we better? You're tempted to say yes because, you know, we haven't just come out of a world war, and we aren't just 20 years on where we're dealing with nuclear problems and all of that stuff that humanity was dealing with in the 60s, 50 years ago, right?
I think we definitely better, because even though in the greater scheme of things, you can broad stroke what the world looks like, there's still pockets of like perfection you can have in your own world because you've got access to so much stuff. So where in the past, if the president was a real dick, it would affect everyone to every single element of life. I'm watching Mad Men at the moment, season 4, and yeah, back in the 60s. That show is so great. It gets better and better. Yeah. But back then, it just seemed like everyone was really kind of affected by something. Whereas now, it's like, okay, cool, that's there. But I can still have the power to run my life in its own way.
Well, if you look at what's going on in America, and you know, a lot of people are kind of bored with the whole Trump thing already, and he's only just been president for about 2 weeks. But they're bored with it. And I understand that because it's been a nonstop campaign. It just went on for the longest time I could ever recall a campaign going on for.
Yes, because he was a joke from day one, and everyone was like, haha, look at this.
And then suddenly he was the president.
Whereas in the past, it'd be like, okay, we'll pay attention to these people just before the election.
Yeah. And then our president, I mean, let's just focus on us for a minute. So he's trying to shoehorn his ex-wife into office now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to as many people as he can. He's trying to make this work. Because he realizes she's his best hope of staying out of jail. Like, that's the stakes for him. The stakes for him are pretty hardcore. He could go to jail.
Yeah.
Or he could retire quietly in Kandla and, you know, hopefully not be bothered by anybody again.
But, I mean, if you were facing jail, would you be sitting on your hands and just kind of hoping for the best?
Hell no. I'd also be out there trying to curry favor with everybody.
Yes, absolutely. We all would.
And we're all trying to get this mystery handle on, like, how much power does the president really have right now? Because the NEC is busy talking, right? And they're busy changing the rules about how you elect a president. Yesterday they decided, I heard Greta Montashe talking about this, they decided the branches don't have to submit their choices to the provinces at the elective conference. They can just elect directly from the branches. Now, I'm trying to figure out, is this a pro-Zuma move? Is this a pro-Cyril move? Is it a pro-Nkosazana move? Is it a pro-Balega move? Because she still says she's in the game. And what does it mean for us? Like, this is the thing about democracy, too. I got into this debate yesterday with somebody in Cape Town. I mean, this is how boring my life is. Other people are talking about who they're having sex with tonight. I'm talking about democracy. Jesus, please shoot me in the head.
Potato, potato.
He says democracy is a shitty system. So I remember that Churchill quote where Churchill said, democracy is a terrible system of government, except for all the other systems of government. But it's what we've, like, I still think the wisdom of everybody is better, even uneducated everybody, than allowing a small clique of people to control things. But really, the ANC is a small clique of people trying to control things. They're not it's not democracy. Mm-mm. You know, we talk about how ordinary people in this country, most people don't even vote in elections anymore. They've abandoned the system.
Yeah.
So how much legitimacy is there then? Are these the kinds of things that keep me up at night, for heaven's sake? Anyway, let's talk about some more fun stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what's been going on? Like, what happened? What is everybody up to today?
Well, I've got to tell you a story from yesterday. Unfortunately, I do not have any audio or visual evidence other than a photo.
Yes.
But Jane.
Jane Malachiao.
You know, isn't exactly...
she's not the most diplomatic person. If she had the nuclear codes in her hands, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Oh, we'd be done. So I don't know if you've noticed, but she's become rather surly of late, more so than usual.
Well, look, she's going through... she's pregnant. So the hormones are up and down, and not that that's an excuse, because we know that that doesn't necessarily work for every woman. Some pregnancies are easier to deal with than others. But yes, she's complicated.
Okay, so I've just showed the two of you a picture. Jane goes into Touch Central Studios yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Ari and Kat are broadcasting their show like they do every single day. But she just goes in there and starts cleaning.
Mm.
The show's on, okay? But now she's spraying Mr. Min around and she's wiping. and Ari's like... kind of politely and sarcastically says, wow, I love the smell of furniture polish in the morning. And she's like, Ari, just keep on with your show. you mind your own business. And there she is just like cleaning up the storm. And she can't believe that Ari has the audacity to say something. Then tall ass Mo gets onto the microphone and starts saying, you know, pregnant women are really, really beautiful, but they're also a little bit cooked in the head.
Yeah.
And then she loses it with tall ass Mo as well.
Of course she would.
But out of nowhere, like this is the beauty of Jane in this office. Out of nothing, she can just create a tornado.
Yes. I was having this conversation with her sometime last week, and I said to her, you know, you've really got some of us walking on eggshells around you these days, because she also doesn't discriminate here. Like, she will just annihilate all of us in one go.
Oh. And she is the real power behind the throne. Like, this woman is just, there's a lot of furious anger in her that she deploys at a moment's notice. Talk about someone who's bristling for a fight. If anyone in this building gives Jane an opportunity to argue with them, she takes it with both hands.
And she will shut you down. And
by the way, she started calling Mabali Mabala Noise because I came up with that nickname, which we haven't even started using properly, but Jane is deploying it left, right, and center. So she's, hey, Mabala Noise.
I'm not going to argue with her.
No, you just take it.
No, she will like that.
Here's a question from Mandla. I don't know if this is from this morning. Oh, no, this could have been yesterday already. Ben, who was your money on between Roger and Rafa? A lot of people were talking about that match. In fact, I haven't heard people talking so much about tennis for a long time. It was very, very impressive this weekend. It seems everybody was watching the tennis.
Well, it was kind of the greatest game. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the guys and the women's.
Well, you know, the guys in comparison was definitely a lot more exciting to watch. You know, five sets. So, you know, it was a lot of emotions, a lot of up-down moments, because at any given point, I think either one of those guys could have won.
Right. I mean, were you backing anyone in particular?
Look, I've always had a soft spot for Roger Federer. Mm-hmm. You know, prior to being a staunch Djokovic fan, I did kind of love Roger Federer. So I was very happy to see him win, because I was one of those people who was like, you know, shame, Roger probably will never win another Grand Slam ever. You know, with all these new kids that are now on the block.
And so he's proven, he's proven he can still, he's still got it. Yeah. He still got it. I've got a couple of groups on my phone. I don't know. You probably have them too on like WhatsApp. And one of them is a friends group, and everybody just posts the weirdest thing. Like, someone posted this Google search. You know when Google auto completes a search? So this is very bizarre. Help, I accidentally. If you type in help, I accidentally, the first option that comes up, in other words, the most searched option is help, I accidentally build a shelf. Now, that makes no sense to me. First of all, it built a shelf. And how do you accidentally throw the parts down on the floor and accidentally build a shelf? What were you trying to build that ended up being a shelf? And I do not understand. I don't even know like who found this or where it comes from, but it is such a random, bizarre thing to see. And I've got a couple of business groups on here too. I've got meetings and meetings and meetings this week. So there's a lot of like dates and times. Do you sometimes struggle, even in the world of digital calendars and the rest of it, to keep track of all your appointments?
I'm not that important, Gareth. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I got a lot of appointments, and then there's clashes between this one and that one, and you have to organize for them to be in the same place, because you won't be able to fit both in if you have to travel between them. Aren't these problems everyone deals with? You don't?
Well, it depends. Like, you're a businessman, and you have a business. My business is to try and have a simple life. Everyone's got different things.
No, I like that. Yours does sound like an attractive proposition. How do you cut out the crap, though?
You just cut it out.
You just cut it out. That's what I've learned from living with a cat and working with Mabali. These are two qualities they share. They don't like something. It's just like, so what, done. I don't care. I don't need you or anything.
Well, what else are you going to do? You've just got to put your foot down and cut it out. That's it.
People as well?
Yes, especially people.
See, I know what you're saying, and you're absolutely right, but there's some days I feel like I owe, it's weird. I don't owe anybody anything. I'm like, oh, shame. I haven't seen that person in a long time. Maybe I should make an effort with them. But the fact that I haven't seen them in a long time, or they haven't made any effort at all, because I probably am not that interested in them and I'm not going to make the effort, doesn't seem to enter my, not every time, doesn't enter my consciousness to interrogate, well, maybe there's a good reason that you haven't seen them for such a long time and you shouldn't feel guilty about not keeping up every acquaintance relationship that you have.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
You don't have that.
This is obvious to Mabali and I, but you're such a nice person, Gareth.
No, I'm really not.
No, you really are. You make out like you're the guy from the Smurfs. What's that guy's name?
What, the
Gargamel.
The
Gargamel, yeah. Oh. You make out like you're him with just a better dress sense, but you're actually very nice.
Oh, that's sweet, but it's not true.
See, go straight back to Gargamel. It's like it's script.
No, it's not. No. You know how people make you feel like you need to be making an effort with them, even though they make no effort with you?
Yeah, you tell them to piss off.
Yeah, you absolutely do. Sure.
Oh, but you guys, sometimes, and then they'll say to you like, oh, I haven't seen you in ages. How are you? And you'll be like, oh, for God's sake. Now, I'm not going to be deceitful. I don't like being dishonest with people. So I'll say, yeah, but we must make a plan. Which is the wrong response, because that is deceitful. You're giving them hope that you're going to get together, you know, see each other, spend time. There's some people I really do want to see. I don't get to see them. Listen to these other options that come up, by the way. I hate to digress quickly out of that, but there's nothing worse than someone being introspective first thing in the morning. these help I accidentally.
Yeah.
So autocomplete. First one, help I accidentally built a shelf. Build a shelf. Help, I accidentally build a shelf origin. Help, I accidentally pooped on my boyfriend.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
comes up as number three. Help, I accidentally killed myself. Oh. Who types that in? The dead person that can't type? Help, I accidentally killed my friend. It must be frightening working for Google. If these are the things you have to deal with. Huh?
Can you imagine the guys and girls who work at Google, what their WhatsApp groups are and the things they talk about and the screenshots that they share with each other?
Guys, go and check out the latest autocompletes on search, blah, blah, blah. Horrible. And then someone is saying here they've given me a screenshot of some conversation between, obviously, two people. One is a Trump supporter and one is not. So the non-Trump supporter says, what has Trump done to prevent waste from being disposed of properly? So the reply from the Trump supporter is, he's blocking it from flowing in through the airports. So the non-Trump supporter goes, fuck, dude. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, Aish, conversations between Trump supporters and non-Trump supporters.
Or when they're actually conversations and not just shouting
matches. Just screaming matches.
No. I haven't seen divisions like this since Twilight.
Some of those are hectic, hey?
Yeah. People don't, there's no common ground here. There's no meeting spaces. You're just on one side or the other.
Mm.
The one side does not understand the other at all. It's like they're different countries. Here's something from Vaynant. Says, hey, Ben, I've been searching for hot yoga online. Maybe not the best idea in the office.
Yeah, probably not. So yesterday,
did that come up in your sports show?
Yesterday, I had an interview yesterday with, on the Bounce show with a lady who does Bikram yoga, which is hot yoga, right?
Right. Let's be clear. They raise the temperature of the room that you do the yoga in.
So if you were to Google search hot yoga, you're going to get some steamy images. And I'm not saying from temperature.
Mm.
Right. It's going to be cold. Because naked yoga is quite a thing.
Mm.
Again, this is the world of, we're talking Google searches. But no, it's about raising the heat of the room. So go, just type in Bikram yoga.
Yeah, not hot yoga. Or
if you're happy with what you found with hot yoga, so be it. You carry on with your hot yoga search.
Listening to Barry Hilton from Friday, who knew it would be such a deep talk? I enjoyed his take on how his parents, his dad, Jack, and I think a lot of us parents can learn from that. Come on, Oaks, relax. It's probably why grandparents seem to enjoy their grandchildren more than their own kids, because they realize that there is more important stuff in life
than being
a hard ass.
That's a really good insight.
You know, Barry Hilton... People go, oh, well, he's a comedian. He's going to come in here and be funny. I've never sat and just done jokes with Barry Hilton. He's not going to sit here and make you laugh. And it's unexpected. And this is why I love comedians like him. Because, look, first of all, I know what I'm dealing with. I'm not expecting some guy dropping one-liners. Because he got straight into the important stuff. And when you talk about parents who are forcing their kids into something, his dad forced him to be an electrician for 10 years and he went through with it. You know, parents can be real dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in that moment, did they know better? Because this is the thing with parents, is they kind of going through a maze with all their children, figuring the stuff out, which is why by the time they're grandparents, as the message said, they're so much more relaxed and just chilled.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this is why I won't have children, because if I end up sending my kid down the wrong path, I'm going to never forgive myself.
But when you think about it, growing up, there's many things you need to survive, right? And just think of a turtle when it gets laid, the eggs get laid on the beach. That turtle goes, okay, great, I'm a turtle. So that means I've got to go across the sand now, try to get into the sea. But while that happens, everyone wants to eat me. That's kind of like growing up. You need to get through childhood, just your hormones and stuff. You need to get through school, which is full of bullies and dickheads. And you've actually got to get through your parents. Your parents can either be great or they can be terrible.
Yeah.
And they can scar or build you, really, because that's how it works, unfortunately.
And so many people are like a product of their parents just raising them badly, I suppose.
If you're a product of your parents and your parents aren't great products to start with, this is so difficult.
Right. Well, listen to these just before we get to news. Avi says, the world was much more peaceful when Harambe was alive.
I agree. I agree. That's what I will never forget.
Ashley says, here's the secret. Oil, 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 money, 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 lobbyists for why Trump is so anti the environment. Dudley says, hey team, for your info, here's the rougher pre-serve or pre-receive routine. Ass, shoulder, shoulder, nose, ear, nose, ear. That's his moves. And one more message quickly before we get out of this. This is from Shiv, who says, I never saw such division since Twilight. Brilliant, Ben. All right, let's get into it. What are the headlines this morning? Here's Mabale Moloi. The headlines brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. I went to the original Colcacchio's in Cape Town.
As you always do.
Had a look at it. It's a great place. They've got an amazing celebrity chef series that they've just launched. And it launched in November of last year. So they've got Zola Nene, Neil Anthony, and Claire Allen. Pick one, Mubs, and I'll tell you about their pizza quickly. Do you want Claire, Zola, or Neil?
Let's go with Zola.
All right. Zola's got something called the Don Salsa, tomato base, pulled barbecue chicken, mozzarella, smoked mozzarella, corn, and avocado salsa with a Tabasco chipotle sauce. Doesn't that sound good? Cost of the pizza is 105 Rand, and it is part of their summer menu. And don't forget the donation goes to charity as a result of buying one of these. What happens is the fundraising to help some needy causes through a medium that we as a brand love, that's food, great pizza. 5 Rand from every Colcacchio special celebrity chef series pizza will be donated to the Children's Hospital Trust fundraiser for the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital and pediatric healthcare. And the donations will go towards furnishing a new pediatric intensive care unit. So you not only get to eat great pizza, but you also get to do something nice. And you don't have to make much more of an effort. You just enjoy your pizza and the good stuff happens with or without you, which is the way a lot of people like it. They don't want to think about this stuff too much because then they can't enjoy the pizza or they feel like they need to do more. Just relax. They've got it under control. They're there to help you. They'll take care of the details. All right, here is the news with Mabale Moloi. Yes. Practicing, huh?
You know, the start is so convincing, and then it just completely
deteriorates,
loses all air after that.
All right, what do we got?
Listen, we didn't get into this quite properly yesterday, but the Sunday papers revealed that the ANC in the Northwest have asked Luthuli House to add the former Eskom CEO Brian Molefe to their list of ANC members that it wants to send to Parliament, making him eligible to be sworn in as an MP. Now,
isn't this guy compromised really badly? First of all, he broke down in tears on TV. He lied about a shebeen, which doesn't exist, that everybody in the country knows is the biggest bullshit story ever told. He ran Eskom not necessarily well or badly. He didn't have too bad a track record before then, but he's been evidenced to be a paid Twitter. This guy is a paid influencer in ANC affairs. And there's Gupta connections, which are very, very obvious and very credible and clear. There are Zuma connections. Is Brian Molefe the kind of person you want in charge of anything anymore?
Well, I don't know, Gareth, because...
And why are the people in the Northwest so goddamned and motivated to make him important?
Well, I mean, as is the case in most political things, it's all about strategy, right? This move comes as Zuma supporters lobby the president to fire Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan, who's still here, and replace him with Brian Molefe, who resigned as Eskom CEO back in November. This was after the public protector's damning state of capture report. Now, the reason that he broke down and cried was because, you know, he claimed that he had been visiting Sage Shabin in Saxonwold and not the Guptas, as the report had suggested. But then yesterday, Gwadiman Dashi, who is the ANC Secretary General, he said, hang on, everybody calm down. Brian Molefe is...
No.
Yes, actually, that's what he said.
It's always what he said.
He never said, hang on. He said...
No.
So he said, everybody calm down. Brian Molefe is not yet on the African National Congress list for Parliament. Mandashi said that half of the list... of people nominated for parliament came from provinces, while the other half were nominated at a national level. So this is going to be one worth keeping our eyes on, guys. Are we about to be taken through another fire the finance minister saga? Because I'm sure all the economists and the really clever people like Anthea Gardner will tell you that we cannot afford to have a repeat episode of such an event.
Well, Vaughan says, Ashley says, Brian Molefe is going to be our next finance minister.
Oh, dear, guys.
MP is just the next step. Can we, if we can't afford it?
No, we cannot. Absolutely cannot. We saw what happened the last time. We saw the effects, the ramifications that it had.
Shockingly inappropriate for what's happened in this matter. Shockingly inappropriate.
Yeah, thanks, Khadi.
Exactly. Okay, and then what else here?
You know, probably politics or stuff.
Yeah, sorry, it's just...
Wasn't there some kind of a Musk shooting in Canada?
Yes, there was. Yep. There was. I will get to that shortly.
Some little French-Canadian... I read he's a feminist.
Yeah, he wears it. I saw a picture with a feminist pin on his on his jacket.
Who's this guy? He's not a Muslim.
No, he's not. He's just a skinny little white boy.
And in Canada...
He's just a skinny little white boy.
He is. And in Canada? Do they even have guns in Canada for anything except moose hunting?
Yeah, I had no idea they did.
This is probably the biggest story to ever come out of Canada, because usually they have like two shootings a year.
And one or two moose who... try to cross the road and you hit the moose.
What did the boy band president have to say about that?
He must have been shocked. What did fuckboy say?
President Trump has sent his condolences to the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who all the ladies love. The incident took place on Sunday, the shooting that is, in a Quebec city. That's how you say it, right?
Quebec City
mosque. It left six people dead and several injured. Trump also offered to provide any assistance to the Canadians as needed. One suspect was in custody after Sunday's shooting at the Islamic Cultural Center in Quebec, while another was being questioned as a witness. Police and witnesses initially described two masked men who opened fire inside the mosque, where about 50 worshippers were gathered for evening prayer, instantly killing six people and wounding eight. It was unclear whether police still believed two assailants were involved. So there seems to have been confusion there as to whether there was one or two. But yeah, Ben mentioned the one skinny little white boy. Because the one detainee was arrested near the mosque.
Well, okay, here's what's going to happen. The left wing are going to say to you, see, not just Muslims shoot places, which is obvious because there have been lots of people who have not been Muslim who have been responsible for nasty things that have happened in North America. And the right people on the right will say, well, you see, Canada's just as shitty as America. They know better. They may have, you know, liberal policies about things. They may have less guns. But look, people still get shot. Canada's the same as us. They're not better. That's what you're going to end up with. And which side is right? Both.
And which side is wrong?
Both. There's no certainty. I'm sorry if you came here for black and white this morning. You're not getting any.
No, we've just got a batch of gray for you, and you will like it and deal with it.
Right.
So that's it for Patricia DeLille. She's done. She's called it quits. She resigned.
I heard about this after our show yesterday. When did it happen? In the morning?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it happened during the show still, but yes, it did happen yesterday, Gareth. So yes, she's resigned as the DA's Western Cape leader. But she will stay on as Cape Town mayor. In fact, in her statement, she said that that is exactly what she wants to do, is to focus on her goals as Cape Town mayor. So her resignation effective.
We are in government in Cape Town.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Helen.
Her resignation will be effective as from February 1st, which is what, in a few days' time. Hey, it's tomorrow.
Yeah. No.
Yes, it's tomorrow.
Let me tell you, that Cape Town runs very well, hey. Jesus, it's run well. You can hate the DA as much as you like. I don't have love for any political party. And I don't even think that the DA necessarily deserve the credit here. Patricia DeLille and before her Helen Ziller, as individuals, however they did it, with the party helping them or not, that place works. Things work. It looks amazing. It works. It functions. They're building all the time. They're improving the place. They're building houses. You must see all the houses along the highway from the airport to town, where there used to be shacks. Houses are going up. Maybe it's because it's so visible. But I'm telling you now, this Cape Town is a model of what all the cities in this whole country should be operating on. Just practical, pragmatic solutions to make people's lives better.
But it's also nice to see, you know, a leader being prepared to step aside from a position as opposed to holding on to it for dear life like a barnacle.
Good point.
Just like to throw that in there.
Good point. Yeah, and Patricia DeLille, I think a lot of people would be upset that she's resigning, but this is just from the provincial party structures because she adds so much fire and she's afraid of nobody, you know. That woman takes no prisoners. But she is going to carry on as mayor, and I think people are pleased about that. All right. Let's get into some sport, Ben. You ready for us?
Yeah.
What you got? Do you want your fancy intro? You've become so used to it.
He always wants his fancy intro.
Right, into the football. Right. So last night was the draw for the FA Cup fifth round. Mm-hmm. So Leicester and Derby, well, they were dicking around over the weekend, so they've got to have a replay still. So they haven't been put into the draw proper as of yet. So they play on the 8th of Feb. They'll be Leicester versus Derby, quarter to 10. The winner of that will take on Fighting Millwall.
That's the name?
Yeah, well, that's what they do. They fight. If you're a fan of Leicester or Derby, there's a good chance you'll be beaten up sometime around the 17th of February.
All right.
So that'll be the first one. Then we've got Fulham versus Spurs. Nice London derby here. None of the Premier League teams have been drawn against each other in the fifth round.
Right.
Blackburn take on Manchester United. Mm-hmm. Blackburn, they'll stay playing netball. Burnley will take on Lincoln City, the fairy tale story of a team with no real league, basically played guys who work in bars, pubs, butcheries, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Middlesbrough will take on Oxford United. Sutton United, who are even worse than Lincoln City, if you think of the greater scheme of things, they will go and play the Arsenal at the Emirates, which is pretty much the biggest day out for anyone who's ever supported Sutton United. What a great, great spectacle. Huddersfield Town will take on Man City, and then the Wolves will go to Chelsea.
Huh.
That will be your fifth round for the FA Cup, which doesn't involve Liverpool. Well, the truth of the matter is, nothing involves Liverpool in January. It has been a terrible, terrible month for them. They started the year, second on the English Premier League log. They were in the finals of the English League Cup, and they were still in the FA Cup. None of that applies anymore. And tonight, they will take on Chelsea. So it doesn't get any easier whatsoever. If they lose tonight, they'll be a full, I think, 17 points behind Chelsea, which means that their title aspirations will be done. No, not 17, it's less than that. Anyway, not important. They'll take place at 10 o'clock tonight. Other games watch out for tonight in the English Premier League will be Arsenal versus Watford at quarter to 10. Burnley will take on Leicester City at quarter to 10. Sunderland versus Spurs at the same time. And, there's more games tomorrow as well. So if you like your midweek football, so much to catch up on, and we haven't even got back into the PSL here in South Africa yet. which will take place after the African Cup of Nations. Speaking of which, African Cup of Nations semis, look out for this weekend. Burkina Faso versus Egypt on Wednesday, and Thursday we'll see Cameroon versus Ghana, the final of which will take place on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Other things to look out for this week. Tomorrow, SA versus Sri Lanka, second ODI. Now, this is probably going to be a clean sweep for South Africa because, well, Sri Lanka, I know they won the T20 series, but they just look so aimless at the moment. Next game will be taking place at Durban tomorrow. It'll be 1:30. And then Saturday, the big pink ODI in Johannesburg at 1:30. Tomorrow sees the decider of the T20 series between India and England. So that'll be at 3:30 for into that. And the Hadley Chapel Trophy got off to an absolute stunning start yesterday. Played in a rugby stadium, which is what you do when you go play cricket in New Zealand. New Zealand managed to get 286 for 9, which was brilliant. And when Australia were 4 down for bugger all, we thought that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But then Marcus Stoinis.
Are you making it up?
No, it's his real name.
Really?
I haven't written it down. I thought I'd commit it to memory. So the Stoinis dude, firstly, he got like 3 wickets in the Aussie bowling attack.
Mm-hmm.
Then, with everything falling around, he managed to somehow get to 140.
Hmm.
This guy was just killing it. He just got through all the difficult patches, and then he was just smashing 6 after 6 after 6. And it was down to the final wicket, and with 6 runs remaining, and these guys were down and out. They were like 40 for 4 at one stage. They were absolutely screwed. Stoinis got them all the way there, and then Josh Hazlewood, trying very hard to sneak a quick single, he got run out. So New Zealand won by 6 runs in one of the most entertaining ODIs I've seen in quite some time. This weekend is going to be a huge weekend in golf. I know this is pretty much what's been happening since the beginning of the year. Some really big events to start things off. But it's the Dubai Desert Classic on the European Tour, which is really, really huge. And Tiger's making his way over to that one. And then on the US Open, sorry, the US Tour, we're at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which is...
That's such a beautiful name.
It's basically the Super Bowl.
I do love the waste management part of it.
It's like the Super Bowl of golf. That's where people... So the whole Phoenix area, right, it's really great because there's some good colleges around there, and it just gets packed with like anything from frat boys to people on private jets. And it's such a party. Like... The party atmosphere in that place, like I said last year, this time last year, is one of those great tournaments of the US PGA Tour. And it's kind of like T20 meets tailgating meets golf meets a frat party. It's just brilliant. It's so much fun. So I'll have lots more and fun around that going into the weekend. And also this weekend, we'll see the start of the Six Nations. Yes, your rugby hunger has been rumbling for weeks now. I know the Blitzbocker kind of gave us something to shout about last week by winning in Wellington. This weekend, the Six Nations starts. So if you're into that kind of stuff, Saturday we'll see Scotland versus Ireland in the first match, 4:30. England versus France at 7. And then Sunday we'll see Italy versus Wales. They say Ireland's going to be the sneak sort of favourites here, but you've got to think that England, the current holders of the title and the best team in Northern Hemisphere, second only to New Zealand in the whole world. Well,
sure.
with Eddie Jones at the helm, anything can happen. And when I say anything, I mean win.
Right.
So relatively slow day sports-wise, but yeah, that's all the things you need to look out for this week. A full array. There's no tennis, motor racing and all that kind of stuff hasn't started yet, but lots of golf, lots of cricket and lots of football.
Hmm. Sounds good, Ben. Thank you very much. We always get a snapshot of what to look forward to and what has already happened, which is the whole point of the sport. People like to talk about this stuff. And don't forget, if you like to get into the more interesting, more in-depth stuff, then Ben has a show all of his own on a Monday, which you could listen to. You get the podcast anytime you like as well by going to The Bounce Show.
Yeah, on cliffcentral.com. I do recommend the yoga interview I had yesterday because it's something that guys don't talk a lot about, but it could just be the greatest thing that could happen to your life.
Have you done some yoga, Ben?
Gareth, I've done 2 classes in my life, and they were both difficult. But after yesterday's chat, I'm keen to give it a proper go.
Give it a try.
It could just be what I need right now in my life.
Right.
Yeah, I did one of those Bikram yoga things. Yo.
Tough.
I almost passed out.
Really?
Which is normal. That's...
Yeah, because you get dizzy in there, hey?
Yeah, it's tough in the beginning. But if you can get through it and the physical benefits as well as the mental benefits.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we should all start some yoga.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know, there are people who say that this is tremendously beneficial for you, especially as you get older. Yoga stretches the muscles. It keeps you in nick. It's very good for your circulation. It's very good for your rehabilitation if you have injuries, that kind of thing. So there's lots of reasons to do this. I think Ben may be onto something. I'm going to listen to that podcast to make my mind up. I'm not promising anything. All right. You know what's happening now, right?
We're going to find out about our money.
That is right, my Bali.
She works hard for my money. Anthea, she works hard for your money. Anthea, she works hard for her money. So we better treat her right. Anthea,
she works hard. That's right. All right. Hey, Anthea, good morning.
Anthea, she works hard for your money. Anthea, she works hard for my money. So I better treat her right.
Hey, Anthea, can you hear me? What's the problem? I thought she was on there. You know, this is the one thing about the studio. I've got to be able to turn on my producer's mic so that I can hear what the hell he's doing. Otherwise, he has to come in here every time. Oh, yes. What's happening?
I can speak to your phone on my side.
Oh, so it's just on my side?
Yeah, it's just on your
side. Let me see here what's going on. Anthea, hello. Anthea Gardner, good morning.
She says she can't even hear you.
She can't even hear me? I can hear her. I can hear it hammering away at the keyboard there.
Oh, dear. Should we try and fix this quickly?
Well, we've got to. People need to know what's happening with their money. Hey, vey. All right. What's the backup plan here? Let me get hold of her on... I'll try. Just tell her... Just put it down on your side and I'll try and get her on mine. Hey, vey. All right.
So while we wait for that, have you seen there's a new Hollywood trend around making male movies into kind of more girl movies?
Mm-hmm.
You hear Ocean's 8 is coming out.
Well, they did that with the Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, yeah, which was a disaster. Now Ocean's 8 is coming out with Rihanna.
Mm.
And they've got an all-star cast because they realized that if you don't have the greatest story, just get every star possible.
Yes, that's a winning formula for a lot of movies.
But what I think is going to be the saving grace for this one as opposed to Ghostbusters, this is going to be a bit more of a kind of tongue-in-cheek rip off the fact that it's going to be a heist movie,
yeah.
But it's a comedy heist movie.
I think they've also got Sandra Bullock in there.
Sandra Bullock is in there.
Yeah.
Sounds
and
terrible.
Anne Hathaway.
Oh, God.
Oh, her I don't like so much. She annoys
me. She had a time. Princess Diaries.
Okay. I think we got Anthea. Hello, Anthea. Good morning.
Maybe Anthea's
good morning, Gareth. Yes, I'm here.
There we go. Loud and clear. All right. So sorry about the technical complications just now. Just one day I'd love everything to work, but that day hopefully will come. We're talking a little bit about this Brian Molefe situation. And you know, I hear a lot of people talking about it very credibly. If that happens, that would not be a good thing.
No, there is a lot of talk about how he saved Eskom, which I'm not sure is exactly true. You know, people are putting kind of a very positive. I know what you mean about them putting a positive spin on it.
Yeah, like he's a whiz kid. As far as I can tell, Eskom, running Eskom is just, it's first of all a very horrible job, but second of all, I don't think it's a very complicated job.
I don't agree with you there. I think it is a very complicated job.
Yeah.
I think he got lucky that they stopped supplying electricity. And so in his time, the blackouts kind of were rolled back. But that's because they ruined the economy. You know, they're now producing less electricity than they were in 2004. So that's not a good thing. The economy is not growing, so there's no demand for electricity. So, of course, so I guess it looks like, you know, Eskom are doing okay because we've got electricity. But
that's no reason to appoint a finance minister.
And I'm not sure the market's loving it either, because I thought the rand would strengthen on the back of the weaker dollar yesterday. But actually, the rand is just getting weaker. It was 13.58 yesterday again. You know, that's where it touched on Friday with this talk of the cabinet reshuffle.
All right.
I was as surprised about the Brian Molefe positivity, but I don't think the market's buying it.
All right. Well, let's look at global markets first of all. They're under pressure. And we can look at ours first, I suppose.
Yes, we were down 60 basis points yesterday. Even with this weaker rand, which is such a shame. And then the weaker rand, it was a little bit supportive, but just not enough. One of the stocks that did help in the morning was Steinhoff. But then at the end of the day, the gains that Steinhoff had made were wiped out. When it came to light, that mattress firm, you know, the company they bought in the
yes.
U.S.,
mm-hmm.
had a disagreement over concessions, and that led Sealy, remember Sealy Posturepedic?
Yes.
To terminate their contractual relationship with the group, with Steinhoff. So unfortunately, that happens as well. You know, so this week around, not great. I mean, and then of course in the afternoon, the U.S. stocks opened sharp, much sharply lower. Politics again being a drag on the market, and so at the end of the day, it looked like our market took a bit of a dip on the back of that as well. And then because of all this talk about the cabinet reshuffle, Malefe, and all this. The banks really are under a lot of, or the banking stocks, I should say, are under a lot of pressure at the moment. Standard Bank, of course, the double whammy because they had a poor trading update from Liberty on Friday.
All right.
So generally just not a great feeling in the market. And I think it's all because of, mostly because of politics.
Yeah, these politicians just, they poison the whole well. Let's talk about Harmony Gold quickly because they released a trading statement.
Yes, sure. Their headline earnings per share, they said, is going to be up between 235 and 255%. And that is just an incredible number. Primarily, it's due to the increase in the average gold price that they received in the time, and also from this Hidden Valley acquisition that they did, which is now being accounted for in this reporting period, and a few of the rand hedges. The CEO seemed very pleased with himself yesterday. He's saying that they had achieved all the targets that they set out in terms of safety and production increases. So it's nice to see a good news story coming out of the mining sector for a change. You know, Harmony in the past really has been blighted by the gold hedge that they ran almost 20 years ago. And they put all these hedges in place. And as the gold price ran, they were receiving a lower gold price. So good for them.
Yeah, and it wasn't so long ago that we were all running away from mining.
Indeed, exactly.
So they've really managed to turn it around.
Yeah, I think the only concern now with the resource shares is because they've been under so much pressure, they haven't spent a lot of money on what we call CapEx, capital expenditure, in other words, expanding their projects and their mines. The only person that really has is Sibanye Gold. Remember, he's been buying up the other miners during kind of tough times.
And when you say person, you mean Neil Frohneman, because he kind of leads from the front.
That's exactly right. Oh. Yes, that's right.
Okay. What about Advitech?
Okay, so Advitech, that's our private, one of our listed private school businesses. They announced yesterday that they're buying 51% stake in the University of Africa, which was established in 2006. It's an online university. It's based in Zambia. It has about 2,000 students. They offer 22 bachelor's degrees, 8 master's programs, and 1 doctoral degree. Now, they didn't give a lot of detail on the kind of on the numbers, I should say. So I can't tell you whether or not it's going to be earnings accretive. But what I can tell you is that is obviously this is very much a direct follow-on from the deal they did with the IFC, which is the International Finance Corporation, kind of the finance arm of the World Bank. So really sticking to their guns and kind of rolling out or implementing the strategy that they'd put in place a while ago. Very exciting, I think. And now just to see how it actually works. They really do want to be kind of seen as the leader of education on the African continent.
Cool. One other thing. There's a bit of nervousness around our maize crop, I believe, and this has some impact on the economy at large.
Yes, because So last year we were worried because we were going through a drought and we worried that the price of maize was spiking and that it was causing inflation. And then we suddenly thought, well, okay, the drought is over. Now we're seeing some rains and it'll turn from El Nino to El Niña. So it should be good for our maize crops. And now all of a sudden people are talking about something called armyworms, which has been a blight of countries further north, kind of from South Africa. But we've seen it in Limpopo and the Northwest Province. And the reason they're called armyworms, just as an aside, is because they march in large numbers, apparently.
Good heavens.
Yeah. And it seems that the epicenter is really Limpopo, kind of close to the Zimbabwe border. And not only do they destroy crops, but the other concern is that we may have import bans on our maize product, on our crop, because really the moths and the larvae travel quite well. And so obviously you don't want to spread it to other countries in the world, or other countries won't want to import our maize crop.
Look at you. Who knew we would have a biology lesson during the money shot?
Well, I must admit, I did have to go and look it up because...
Jeez.
There you go. Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm fascinated. What can I say? Army worms, Mubs, look out for those.
Will do.
All right. So now you've warned us. Forewarned is forearmed. Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure. Thanks,
guys. All right, cool. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Deep.
There we go. Anthea Gardner, look at the money, your money, what's happening to it, where and when and how, and what companies to keep an eye on. So let's hope we've got more good news, or better news, rather, from the markets tomorrow, because today's news is not – I'm not thrilled. How about you? Thrilled? Hell no. Yes, you're an idiot. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back in a moment or two, we'll get into some news and take your calls and your thoughts and everything else. We've also got some interesting people popping by today. Gilan Gork will be in. You remember Gilan? He's the mentalist. And today we'll talk about all kinds of things. We'll answer your questions about body language. We'll talk a little bit about how you can tell with someone when they're lying. He spoke about this at large on a show that I watched not so long ago. So Gillan, always fascinating to have around. And Siabile will pop in as well. He's starting a new show on Monday the 6th of February.
And because Gillan Gork's obviously one of those special guests, we will be going live on Instagram for that.
Oh, cool.
So go on to the Gareth Cliff Show on Instagram, follow us there.
Yes.
And we'll be giving you a live snippet.
By the way, that Gareth Cliff Show on Instagram is way funnier than anyone's personal Instagram. There's some great pictures. There's some funny behind-the-scenes stuff, and we go live there as well occasionally. So it's something you could join if you want to see what's going on, not just hear it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Why has this thing started in the middle? Why did that song just start in the middle?
Oh, dear.
It was self-conscious of its intro?
It just started like 1 minute into the song. Well, I think I'm going to have to try a different one. Okay, let's do a little black coffee. It doesn't bother me because this is better anyway. CliffCentral.com.